It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. Now, I would like for us to continue our study today in the book of Romans. We left off last time and chapter 11, and we're going to pick up there right now. There are warnings against Gentile conceit in verses 17 through 24 of chapter 11 of the book of Romans. And Gentiles are, let me say, but wild branches grafted in into the root of the cultivated olive tree. Romans chapter 11, verse 17 says, "And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakes of the root and fatness of the olive tree." Well, that means the Gentiles are partaking of what God has offered the Jewish people. The cultivated olive tree here refers to the place of God's blessing. And we see the wild olive tree is not the place of God's blessing. But the branches of the wild olive tree are blessed when they are grafted into the cultivated olive tree. You see, the Gentiles are not to brag that they are better than the natural branches. And of course, the natural branches being Israel. Remember, it is not of their doing that they have been given the blessing of being grafted in. And Romans chapter 11, verse 18 says, "Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee." Well, God has given each person the responsibility of knowing Him as Savior, and the Gentiles have been grafted in. That's those of us who are not Jewish people, not of Israel. We've been grafted in. We do not go around bragging or making fun of the Jewish people or Israel because we have been grafted in. We simply say it's by the grace of God that we're on our way to heaven, that Jesus Christ has saved us. Well, let's pick up with verse 18, where Paul said, "Boast not against the branches." And we just talked about that. We're not to brag as to what God has given us free of charge. We take Him at His word, and we trust Him as Savior. Well, notice in verse 19 now, we're going to read down through verse 24. It starts by saying, "Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in." Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. "Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest He also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off." Now, He's not talking about individuals losing salvation. He's talking about other people other than the Jewish people. In other words, as the Jewish people have been set aside, He can set other nations aside if they do not follow what God has said. Once again, He's not saying that a person can lose their salvation. He's talking about those nations who refuse God. Well, now let me stop there just for a moment and remind you. We're not talking about an individual person, as I've just mentioned. Paul's talking about a nation. He's talking about a nation being cut off, in other words. And once again, he allowed the Jewish people to have their eyes blinded. Well, now notice, Paul goes on to say, once again, let me start back with verse 22. It says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in His goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off." Well, once again, it's not talking about the loss of salvation. And verse 23, and it says, "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree. God is able to graft in the nation of Israel again, in other words, and once again, they will be in the future. That's for a future study that we'll have on It's a Good Life. Well, notice now in verses 25 through 32, we're going to look at the blindness and blessing of Israel. Verse 25 says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Well, the resisting of God by Israel is not permanent, according to the verses we're reading here. It is until the fullness of the completion of the church, of the coming in of the Gentiles. And that's what it's talking about in verse 25, the completion of the church. Well, when is that going to be? Well, the completion of the church will be when Jesus comes back and he says, "Come up hither," the rapture of the church. The Bible says that we which are alive shall be caught up together with them. That's those who have gone on before. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to be forever with the Lord. That is when the church age as we know it will end. And that is the fullness of the Gentiles. That's when the fullness of the Gentiles will come. And that's what Paul is talking about here in verse 25. Chapter 11, verses 26 through 27. Verse 26 starts by saying, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." No, it's not talking about everyone in Israel now is going to be saved. It's not talking about that anybody can be saved just by being saved or by being a Jew or just being a person. It's not talking about that. The scriptures tell us about the salvation of Israel. It's talking about the nation of Israel. God is going to bring them back into a right relationship with him. Once again, we've read about that, how that he's done certain things. He's tried to provoke them to jealousy, and they haven't come back, but it's coming along, and one day they're going to recognize him as the Messiah, as the King. And Jeremiah 30 and verse 7 says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Well, this, of course, is speaking of the great tribulation that Israel will go through. But there will be a remnant saved out of that because God loves his people, Israel. And Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 20 says, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." You turn by receiving Jesus Christ, in other words, as your Savior. Then, of course, Zechariah 12, verses 8 through 10, you can read that later on. And it also speaks of Jerusalem, of the people of Israel. Well, Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 1 says, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." And in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9 says, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one." We see this in the millennial kingdom, that the Jews are grafted back in. We see that at the end of the tribulation period, they're grafted back in, and they once again have the promises that God made to Abraham, that these promises will come to pass, a restoration of Israel. Now, once again, the people of Israel, the nation, will recognize him as Messiah, and they will recognize him as Messiah, the Savior. And they too, the nation itself, will come back to God, come to Jesus Christ. Well, notice once again now, Israel may be seen as the enemies of the gospel, but they are beloved by God for the patriarch's sake. In Romans chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes." Well, they are beloved because of the patriarch's sake, and that's what that verse is saying there. Well, be assured of this. In Romans chapter 11, verse 29, it says, "For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance." This means that God does not change his mind. He does not repent as we think of repentance about what he has promised. What he has promised, he's going to do. And as we study the scriptures, we find out that God is a God of his word. He keeps his word. And just as the Gentiles in the past didn't believe God and were disobedient, they received mercy because of the unbelief of Israel. Well, now in Romans chapter 11, verse 30, it says, "For as ye in times past have not believed God." Well, Paul's speaking here to the Gentiles. And he goes on to say, "Yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief." We people today have obtained mercy through the unbelief of the Jewish people. God says, okay, you can be saved the same way anybody else is saved, by believing Jesus Christ as your Savior. And at the present time, Israel does not believe. This is as a nation now. Remember, they can receive mercy through the mercy of the Gentiles as individuals, and that's what God is trying to get them to see even today. In Romans chapter 11, verse 31, it says, "Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy." See, it's through the mercy of the Gentile people. We are not to let Israel know that they can be saved. In other words, we're to let them know that they can be saved. We're to let every person in this world know that they can be saved. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and teach and preach the gospel." We are to go as Christians and tell other people how they can be saved. Now, God's decision is that all people are the same. Let me read verse 32. It says, "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." Well, what this means is God's decision is this, that all people are the same. None believe in him, and this means he can have mercy upon the Gentiles and Israel. People are alike. Without the gospel, people do not believe in Jesus. Without the Holy Spirit, people do not believe in Jesus. But God said, "I'm sending the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit may convict people and help them to understand they need a Savior." God has concluded them all in unbelief, that this gives an opportunity for all to be saved. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22, it says, "But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." In Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, it says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." And I thank God for that. God is willing to save anyone who will come to him and believe in Jesus Christ. And that's what he's getting across here. And it's because of the disobedience of the nation of Israel that everyone is treated the same. We've seen this throughout history. And God has said that everyone can be saved, and that is by trusting Jesus as Savior. It's through God's mercy, through his grace, that any of us will ever go to heaven. It's by and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.